Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to a brand new podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Today's brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, IAMenCenter.com. I went and got my checkup. True story. I'm not just telling you this. You can check my Twitter feed from last Friday where I took a picture of it just to prove it to you guys that I am a man. And I indeed go to the doctor. Hang out with Dr. Nicholson there at the Ankeny Clinic, Iowa Clinic, IAMenCenter.com. Doc Nicholson's my guy. Really, I like it, Rob Gray, because he's like my age. Mm-hmm. Now, not every you don't have to have a doctor who's your age, you know. It's not a, but I like that.
Sure.
I like the fact that I can sit in there and a guy understands it, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense. It sounds like you're having checkups about 2 months now, just because they're so good.
Yeah, well, they're I just love going to the doctor. We all know that. No, I
probably got
it was
a year.
Like a med check.
I've probably got a year coming up in a couple months.
Yeah,
probably. Which, I'll go there, of course.
You want to go to Doc Nicholson's, my guy?
Sure. I'm going to call their office and...
What have you been doing, Rob? We haven't seen or heard from you in a long time. You've been, you all right?
Well, mostly, yeah. I mean,
it's like your off time.
It is my off time, and it's kind of the way it worked at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, too, with our kids and with the situation, with my wife's work at the time and all that stuff. It made sense, and her, the nature of her work made sense for me to be home a lot.
Do you miss me?
It's been invaluable. I do miss you on occasion.
Just on occasion.
Yeah. I mean, every now and then I text you and you don't respond. So that,
you know what I've been doing?
That feels familiar.
You know why? So I started the KXNO gig.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife and I have made a deal where after like certain hours, I just put the phone away.
That's a good thing.
I have to.
Because I had a feeling that's what you were doing, actually.
Yeah, I'm putting the phone away. And I feel liberated because of it.
There's lots of, and we've talked about, I'm the guy that talks about research and stuff like that because I'm interested in that kind of stuff. But there's lots of research that points to the fact that you need to get away from some of that stuff, whether it be screens, whether it be your constant alerts on your phone. When you're spending a lot of your day on it anyway, it
Which
becomes
is
like
me
an
all the time.
Addictive thing. And there are all kinds of things about the way it alters your brain chemistry. You know, you feel that boost of whatever it is, dopamine, when you get that alert. What is it? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey, there it is, the text from my friend. Or there it is, somebody liked my Facebook thing. I mean, it's necessary for human health to take some break from it.
I think, actually, I was reading an interesting piece, Sports Illustrated. They have that media column every week, you know, and the guy interviewed a bunch of different sports media personalities about how we can make our industry better, being sports media. And one of the guys, I think it was maybe Jeremy Schapp from ESPN, said that everybody in our profession should take 2 days a week and not tweet.
Which I've been following that for years.
It's harder for a 30-year-old, though. It really is.
Well,
difficult.
Exactly. And also a guy that's, you know, the face of something. I mean, you've got, you know, you're the face of Cyclone Fanatic. You're the face of along with Ross, the face of KXNO, and Andrew, KXNO Sports Fanatic.
The problem I have with it is if I'm not tweeting, I can't just – I've had this discussion with you before. Yep. I can't just take a day off.
Because
if you take a day off in this, you're going to get beat on something, and then people get – then they start being – they go to other websites, and then they could forget about you. And it's not the – we don't take days off very easily.
Yeah.
It's kind of addictive is the perfect word. It's kind of like my drug is work.
Sure.
It's weird.
And obviously when there's breaking news and when I'm at events, from my philosophy, I always tweet and I tweet a lot. And I always respond to tweets. I mean, I'm not always, on the message boards and all that. But I mean, if somebody takes the time to tweet at me about anything and they're not jerks and most people aren't,
I'll always respond.
Even if I'm away from Twitter for a time. I like to tweet when I have something to tweet about. I'm at an event, I'm writing a story, I'm covering some news, I want to get it out there. Otherwise, I leave the banter to the young folks.
You don't tweet like what you had for breakfast.
Yeah, or, you know, how excited I am that they're making another, you know, or how ridiculous I think a new Jurassic Park, you know, all that stuff. I'm not opining about that, I guess. I'm too busy, you know, trying to make sure my kids eat enough fruits and vegetables. You know,
you're being a dad.
Trying to.
Someday I hope to be as good of a dad as you.
Oh, you're a great one, man.
Thanks. I figured we'd bring you in today bring you out of hibernation to talk a little bit basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be a long podcast, but so tomorrow coming up, Mitchell Moore from the football program.
Yeah.
A very colorful individual.
Mm-hmm.
He's hilarious. He's one of the coolest dudes on Rhodes' staff. He's going to come in into the Cyclone Fanatic studio here tomorrow and join me on the podcast. So we'll talk a lot of football tomorrow with Coach Moore. He's big in the recruiting, so we'll talk to him. We'll dot a few I's and cross some T's with Coach Moore. That'll be fun.
Yep.
The podcast coming up on Thursday, of course. Charter and Gray will be in here.
That's your brand. We need to brand the podcast that I'm on once fall rolls around.
Yeah, we need to. We need to give it a name.
The Grizzled.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to play off your age.
Yeah. I'm not really that old. I people have said for a long time, you're only as old as you.
No, I know. You're not that old. It's just more, it's fun to call
you. Compared to you guys, I'm ancient.
I want to get Stansberry involved in our podcast.
Like a bag of bones. What's that?
I want to get Stansberry involved. He's really. Jared's going to do a lot more for us next year.
You're the grizzled veteran to him.
I am old. Yeah.
He's really good. Tremendous Capital City League updates. Hopefully there's more than one Cyclone playing in it.
Well, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Yeah. Is it's starting to look like a more interesting Capital City League.
Mm-hmm.
After the last couple of weeks.
Miskowiak.
Let's just start there. Babb signs officially yesterday. Nick Babb, that is, on Monday. Nick Miskowiak, top 100 point guard out of Wisconsin, has verbally committed to Iowa State. That happened over his official visit on Sunday. You know, we've been reporting for weeks that we thought that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the obvious question is, where do you go from here? You had the kid from Michigan. Max, how do you pronounce his last name?
Is it Biefeld? Biefeld? Something like that, yeah.
He was on campus. No commitment. Sounds like he wants to take a couple more visits before he makes a decision. Tyler Harris from Providence. I've not felt like Tyler Harris from Providence would end up at Iowa State. There's a shot. Here's the problem Iowa State's running into with a lot of these graduate transfers. The culture of graduate transfers, the amount of guys in this pool, two problems. One, Iowa State in the past has been able to say, hey, DeAndre Kane, you come here, you're playing 35 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Jake Anderson, same with Bryce DeJean Jones. Even though that didn't work out that way, that was the pitch.
Yep.
And it was locked down. They can't do that with anybody right now.
No.
And a Tyler Harris wants to go somewhere and be the man.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the man here.
Rightfully so, because they're trying to enhance their prospects of playing professionally.
Exactly.
Whether it be here or in Europe or even D-League, hoping for those 10 days that they might get every now and then. So it wouldn't make sense for them. It makes sense for when you go back to Chris Babb.
Yes.
You go back to a number of the 2-year transfers, even Abdel Nader, who I know wanted to contribute certainly more this year, but didn't work out quite that way. Look forward to seeing a lot more from him in the future, next season. But those guys, look, they're looking to get paid. They've got their degrees.
Correct.
Why would they want to go somewhere and be a 15 to 25 minute a game guy, depending on whether they're hot or not, and maybe some games play 6 or 8 minutes if they're not playing well. Maybe a guy that hasn't played before shows great promise, and coaching staff, of course, is going to go, well, who am I going to go with? The guy that's gone next year, or the guy that we got 3 more years with, or 2 more years with?
Correct.
So, I mean,
these guys are making an investment on this decision, and it's very personal for them. I know, and I saw a lot of fans on the message board. It's very easy for all of us here in Central Iowa to build up Iowa State to be this grand thing, and it is. We all love Iowa State. The problem is not every – you know, these prospects are, like you said, they're trying to make a living playing basketball.
Yep.
They need to go somewhere, these graduate transfers, where they know they can put up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa State is having a problem right now with that and the pool of programs taking these guys –
It's expanded greatly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even close to what it was 3 years ago. So you combine the
Fred
two.
Fred showed the way there, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Not that nobody else had done it, but he showed the way that you can literally rebuild a program virtually overnight, not only with graduate transfers, but with 2-year guys, obviously. And everyone, you know, I know there's been, you know, what Bo Ryan and all that, and it, I don't think that – I think that was taken out of context. I think every coach knows that what it – that's a tremendous boon. And I know that there's talk about the NCAA changing rules as far as that stuff goes, and we'll see how that goes once it reaches the finalization stage and all that, but committees and all that. But it's a brilliant thing to do. I mean, why wouldn't you take somebody who you can have immediately eligible, who has a track record that you can look at,
exactly,
good or bad.
Yep.
You know, you can see guys that maybe were troubled. Hey, maybe they would fit us better, and we can kind of recuperate them or redeem them to a degree. Or guys who have clearly been high performers, and they come in and do it right away. So, I mean, I can't give Fred high enough kudos for recognizing that. He endured the barbs, you know.
Yeah.
And let's face it, some of those barbs were tinged with a little bit of the, in my opinion, a little bit of racism when you throw you know, some of those terms around that you, you know, the
thug,
the T word. Yeah.
And
all that. And that's still, that's always going to persist among a small minority of the population. I hope small minority of the population that thinks that way. But it's
I agree with you. Every time I hear that word, especially it rang true to me. The Bryce DeJohn Jones pseudo arrest.
Yep.
This year for playing his music too loud. I remember listening to KXNO with a lot of fans calling in, and more Iowa fans, I think, because it was right before that game. It couldn't have happened at a worse time,
you know,
and that word getting tossed around, I cringe every time I hear it.
Yeah, you know, because particularly, and we've talked about this before, but that brilliant Richard Sherman piece, you know, love that guy or hate him, he nailed it, what that word really means.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to toss that word out, I mean, we can go across a variety of different divides and sociological things and look at, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on. But I mean, yeah, that bugs me. But Fred took a big risk. And I mean, I'm sorry I hijacked the podcast here for a couple of minutes to give him big kudos there, because in my opinion, it wasn't just obvious. It was brilliant because it was very risky, but it was high risk, high reward. And obviously we've seen the reward, and we've seen a few things backfire, like Bryce DeJohn Jones.
It goes back to Fred's greatest strength is managing egos and managing human beings, which is one of the reasons why people think he'd be a great NBA coach.
Yep.
A lot of egos there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him be able to do it time and time again at Iowa State. But again, I've seen a lot of conversation in a lot of people looking at points per game and rebounds per game with a lot of these transfers, and they're concerned. And listen, guys, like, it's hard to believe, but it's not a bad thing what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. It's because of the team that Iowa State has coming back. If you don't add anybody, this is still a top 10 team
Nader,
in the country next year.
Nader could be a 15 points a game guy.
Yeah.
He could be.
George could be
18, 19, 20 points a game. Monte upped his offensive game, whether taking it to the hoop or, you know, in terms of at least prolific three-point shooting and sometimes very clutch three-point shooting. And you've got guys on that team.
People forget about Deontay Burton.
And, of course, Deontay Burton, who didn't put up numbers at Marquette, but he played sparingly. And obviously,
good defender.
Yep, and with that wingspan. I mean, and Jameel McKay, who put up numbers beyond belief. He can score more.
They haven't mentioned
Naz
Long.
With both hands.
Yep.
I mean, his skill and coordination. I mean, people make a big deal about McKay's energy, and rightfully so, but the amount of coordination he has, like the hands – his mm-hmm. hands, compared to most Iowa State big men I've seen in my lifetime, and I grew up in Ames, are, from day one, were upper 10 percentile, if not 5 percentile. I mean, he's that good. So you've got a bunch of guys that contribute offensively. That's why the Babb thing makes so much sense.
Yes.
Niskoiak makes sense. I mean, I still think Clayton Custer would have been well served. I think he could have been a nice backup to Monte Moore. I mean, you know, guys want to play, and he probably thought there was more opportunity to play last year than there was, but I mean, this is going to work well.
I think Niskoiak's probably an upgrade to Custer.
Yeah, and Bale, well, yeah, based on.
And I liked Clayton a lot. I think Clayton could have played. I think he could have been like a sixth, seventh man in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I still believe that. He landed at a good spot. Like, that's mm-hmm. I think Clayton's the type who, and I don't blame him, he just wants to play. Niskoiak would impress me when I interviewed him on Sunday. He's very much hey, I just want to learn from Monte Morris, and I'll play when I play, and I'm going to be better for it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good attitude for him to have. I think you are going to see Iowa State continue to work the transfer route, but I think this culture, the transfer market is different, and it's going to keep changing. The NCAA is going to do some things, it looks like. I don't think Iowa State is going to be able to rely on it as much
mm-hmm.
as it has in the past, but I don't – Right. Rob, we talked about all last season. Like, when they're having success, four-year guys are the catalyst here.
Yeah.
The transfers have just been nice, you know, pieces to add to these young men, other than the Royce White year. That was the one difference. But even so, you had some four-year guys like a Melvin Edgem who were the glue to that basketball team. So I think I think Iowa State will always utilize the transfer route, no question, and they should. You're Iowa State. It's hard to get top-level high school kids in here. It just is. Look at all the great teams in Iowa State history. There's JUCOs. There's transfers. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to do that, and they will. But I love a Niskowiak. To me, I look at a Nick Babb. That's, you get 3 years with this guy.
Yeah.
4 years in your program, 3 years period. To me, Hollis Cook is a guy I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
3 years with Hollis Cook. To me, that's just like having a high school kid. Most of these guys Iowa State's recruiting out of high school anyway don't contribute as freshmen. Mm-hmm. The George Niangs are very rare. Yeah. So, whatever. I love the way they're attacking this right now. I think it's a very realistic approach. They don't want to bring in a guy. It's going to be hard for them to bring in a guy who could come in here and be the man. There's just not guys out there like that. And the last thing they want at this point is to bring a kid in who thinks he's better than Jameel McKay, who's going to be pissed off at the end of November because he's not playing enough.
Well, I think you look at a guy like Babb in particular, and he's a transfer in name only because he didn't really play at Arkansas. I think it became pretty clear to him that wasn't the right move. Without having spoken to him, but I mean, I'm sure he thought he'd contribute more. I mean, that was a pretty good basketball team, too, in Arkansas. But
yeah, nice team.
When you have the example of what his brother turned himself into, I'm trying to remember what Chris's numbers were at Penn State. He was a solid three-point shooter.
Yeah, he was a 40% three-point shooter.
But he was not a double-digit scorer, I don't believe.
No, he averaged like eight or nine, yeah.
And he didn't necessarily up that average a ton, but his three-point shooting became more clutch. His defensive play became tremendously improved, and that was something that I know Fred and other coaches said, hey, this can help you play professionally. And obviously we've seen that with him being with the Celtics at certain points. So you see that as a brother, see how your brother was transformed, come in there. I mean, it's a nice fit. I mean, in a way, Cook is kind of a transfer name. I mean, he was wonderful.
Talk to me about Hollis Cook. It was a great piece that you wrote on him. I think that he kind of got forgotten about last year, one, because he's a transfer and that's what happens with those guys, but two, he had the injury, so he wasn't very – we didn't see him, you know, when we went into before practice on Thursdays for media sessions. You didn't see Hollis Cook running around shooting threes like you did Abdul Nader the year before. It seemed like a really cool kid, though, and his dad seemed awesome as well.
Yeah. It was interesting because – they tend to be, I guess, at least I was led to believe, fairly private people, but they opened up a ton. Hollis in particular talking about, I mean, it was tough to leave Oregon State, but at the same time, you know, culturally, it was not getting to, and you know, you could see the writing on the wall too. And I know parents, some other, I mean, it was just not the right situation. And he goes and plays hard. You know, what was he, all Pac-12 freshman team. Shot the heck out of it, as Fred likes to say, from three-point range.
40%.
And supposedly he's even better than that. But, I mean, he's rebuilt himself because, you know, the one hip was so bad that it was eventually going to need to be replaced, and then basketball's over. Competitive basketball at this level is over. And they caught it here, and – you know, I don't want to rehash the whole story, but it was just interesting hearing the maturity from him, how he chose to deal with what he was faced with, how he chose to put it in perspective, how he chose to overcome it and understand the baby steps and everything else. For a person of that age to kind of go through that maturity-wise that way was extremely impressive. And he's a guy that, you know, from what he's going to be the best mid. His dad echoed this, of course, too. I think he's pretty proud of his son.
Good for him. He should be.
But he's going to be the best mid-range shooter in the world because as he's rehabbed, he started basically from the rim out. And he was shooting. I'm not sure if it was totally authorized, but he was shooting 1,000-plus mid-range a game.
Don't be shooting those long twos, though. Fred don't like those.
Well, he even made a little bit of a reference to that. He's like, but if I'm hitting 90% of them, it might not be, you know. He didn't really put it that way, but I mean, if you hit those shots like 60-70% of the time, it's as good as
you just know, like Monte was doing that.
But his 3-point shooting will also continue because his focus, he feels, has gotten a lot better.
I do worry about his hip, though. That's such a
it's a touchy thing. Like Vic said, in the piece, I mean, he's a test case to some degree. We don't know.
At least he doesn't have to go out and play 30 minutes a game mm-hmm. next year.
Yeah.
Because you've got a couple guys in Matt Thomas and, mm-hmm. and Naz Long. I think Matt Thomas is fascinating with Otzelberger returning, yep. the relationship that those two have. That's a whole other dynamic that we can get into. But you know what I mean about Hollis, though? He doesn't have to be the man next year.
Yep.
He could be a 15-minute-a-game guy. Now, I think he wants to be more than that, and he's certainly talented enough. But, like, yep. the hip is – it does concern me.
Yeah.
But he seems like he's doing it the right way as far as a comeback goes. He's had well over a year to work this out.
Yeah, I know it definitely concerns him too. But, I mean, he feels like he'll be as good as ever. He went back to Dr. Kelly in New York, felt comfortable there as a New Jersey guy, just 5 minutes outside of the city. And Kelly worked, I believe, on A-Rod. Now, as Vic said, his hip was more severe than most any athletes that they found. And, of course, then there's compensatory or whatever, the other hip needed to be worked on a little bit, sort of like Naz. Now, Naz's is far less severe. But is Naz going to be ready at the beginning of the season? Well, could be. But, there's a lot of coulds in this stuff. But if you're judging by those guys' demeanor and those guys' sense of resolve, particularly we've known Naz for years and we know what his sense of resolve is and positivity, count on them getting back at the very first possibility at full strength once the doctors are certain it's good to go.
Just don't want to rush it. That's the deal where both of those guys are going to be so valuable in March.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Hollis, remember how Naz was a couple of years ago when he hit those big shots in March? I feel like Hollis could be like the hidden marksman at the end of the season for them if he's able.
He very well could be.
That's why Naz
was shot, so supposedly, I mean, is just, you know, I'm going to go a little old school, butter. I mean, it's
little shout out to Stu Scott. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I remember Spike Lee using that on occasion. But
So Stu Scott stole that from Spike Lee?
They probably maybe did a little bit of collaboration. Maybe stole it from Mars Blackman.
Who's
really
that?
Go Black. That's what go back. That was Spike Lee's alter ego in the old Air Jordan videos.
Oh,
those classics.
Yeah.
Those classics.
I remember those now. Okay.
I mean, he played against the best of the best. He played against Harrison. I mean, they aren't the best of the best, but I mean, so many guys.
They're good players.
Tyler Ennis that day, you know, where he was photoed for the Sports Illustrated Faces in the Crowd story. He was taking a nap at St. Anthony's to get ready to play Tyler Ennis. They'd won 80-something games in a row. St. Anthony's and Tyler Ennis had a big game, and I think they finally got him, ended their big winning streak. But he beat Tyler Ennis once, too. So, I mean, some big-time players. He got up against lottery picks. And
He did it
performed very well.
I talked to Otzelberger in the podcast I did with him a couple weeks ago, and, I mean, he did it in Pac-12 on a bad team.
Yeah.
Put up numbers. He's going to be on a really good team.
Mm-hmm. And a team where the culture, I mean, just wasn't, you know, his dad said that they'd have scheduled workouts that they're supposed to show up for, and Hollis would be the guy to show up.
It's unreal.
I mean, and you know that culture is active at some place. They're like the players are running the show. And it sounded like that's kind of how it was, and those players decided.
Does Craig Robinson keep that job just because he's Obama's brother-in-law?
I don't know. And I know Hollis said he really had a good relationship with Coach Robinson, but I think at the same time, sometimes you can lose control. And I mean, that's the worst thing I suppose that can happen as a coach. I'm sure as it's happening, you don't necessarily notice or you wallpaper over it a little bit. And then when it really hits the fan and it's gone, then it's like, how did I not notice that this was happening?
That's the one tip of the hat I think we give Paul Rhodes right now.
Yeah.
Is he's eliminated a lot of that riffraff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot of talent because of it. I don't know how they're going to do this year, but I think Paul, just based off of a lot of the discussions I've had, like there were a lot of problems in that locker room,
yeah.
And it seems like a lot of those guys are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
I agree.
So Iowa State has two more scholarships. This is my prediction. They get an immediately eligible kid, big, and then they get a sit-out kid and stash it. That's my prediction.
Okay, so they'll fill it all up.
They'll fill it all up, yeah. They I'll give them credit. I think it would be easy for Iowa State to say, okay, we're losing a lot after this year. We're kind of rebuilding for 16, then we'll be back. They don't want to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
They want to stay in the tournament, which I being an Iowa Stater, I appreciate that outlook. You shouldn't have to settle. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely, particularly the way that the transfer rules are now. And, I mean, I think the success that Fred has had and others have sort of maybe not to the same extent, I don't want to say copied, but have followed in those footsteps is one of the reasons NCAA is tightening up a little bit. What's interesting to me, and it's intriguing, and I don't know if it's going to happen or will happen, what about guys that were middling glue guys that ended up graduating from other institutions where they can tell the school is not going to do anything their last year? What about those guys? You know, they redshirted maybe or something, mm-hmm. or had a medic. Maybe some of those guys are out there. Those guys that can be your – I mean, how valuable would a Daniel Odozie be this year?
Yeah.
As a guy who can come in and rebound. Because McKay can score inside. He just needs help on occasion, I presume. And I would hope that Burton, even though he's not tall, but has a tremendous wingspan and athleticism, can help in that regard. And we know George can at times get in there and grab boards as well. But, I mean – it's interesting to see because, as you touched on, guys want to be the man, right? The guys that are graduate transfers are usually guys that are, you know, almost like, you know, hired guns to some degree. You know, like in the old West, you know, where do you go? You know, go to the spot. You know, who's paying the most? Where's the most reward? Yeah, and paying, obviously.
I get it.
I'm not talking about that.
We understand.
But bad analogy, maybe. But I got you to whistle. Still.
Was that a good Wild
West? So I want
West
some of those
whistle?
Guys. It was kind of just a random whistle,
yeah.
Actually.
No,
but
I tried.
It fit.
I tried.
Fit well, it was a nice accompaniment. But you know, it'll be interesting to see in maybe the twilight years of the golden age of transfers or graduate transfers. They'll always have transfers, but graduate transfers. What's going to happen? But yeah, I think they'd be well served to have one of those guys that they could count on to defend and rebound. They don't need him to score.
Yeah.
They don't need him to score.
They don't need a score.
And those guys might be in short supply as
Daniel Odozie would be great.
Oh, he'd be the perfect guy to have as a graduate transfer for next year because of what he could do there. I remember his offensive rebounding percentage and just stuff on KenPom was off the chart for a minute, but he didn't bring enough to the table offensively.
Which is a problem for Fred.
But yeah.
Again, this year, I mean, you just need that guy to just be able to plug in with some size.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Raley-ish. Mm-hmm. Get some fouls.
Sure.
That type of a guy. Rob, good podcast today. I enjoyed your insight.
Well, good chat with you, and always enjoy yours.
What's going on this weekend? Are you going to come watch the fight?
Well, I'm thinking about it. Going to have to check my other schedule. My son has a Little League game,
Ooh.
His first Little League game.
That's a big deal.
My wife enrolled him in coach pitch, and he hasn't done T-ball.
Ooh.
He hits better than he catches. He can't catch very well. He won't turn his glove.
Oh, okay.
He actually throws
okay,
too.
Is he scared of the ball?
He's like 60% of the kids on the team, and when they're practicing, he kicks the dirt.
How old is your son?
You have to yell at him to pay attention. He's 6.
Oh, okay. He's still got a ways to go.
Yeah, he's got a ways to go. He's got a good stance though. Throws the ball pretty well.
If you were to compare your son to a major leaguer, I mean, just like his stance, what would you say?
Hmm.
Is he like a Jeff Bagwell? Does he get down there?
No, he doesn't do that. I think that's a problem with most kids. They kind of want to just kind of stand there with their legs. You know, you do. You spend. I'd say he's kind of like Dustin Pedroia, but with the they're getting him to keep his elbow up a little bit more.
Yeah.
That was a key for me. You know, always have the elbow up,
yeah.
And bring your hands down and drive through the zone. So we'll see. He should have some power. He's a tall kid. He'll probably be taller than me, and I'm 6'1".
Well, you have to keep us updated on how he does. All right.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if he does, you know,
the fanatics are begging to know.
Yeah. Regardless.
All right, man.
0-for-3, 3 strikeouts. I hope that's not the case.
Well.
But he'll learn from it.
Chris Bryant, baby.
That's right. 0-for-4 with 3 Ks. Yep. Cubs
and
Bo Sox.
He's Rob Gray. I'm Chris. Thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Podcast tomorrow. Mitch Moore from the football program is going to join me. Should be a lot of fun. So long. Thanks for listening, guys.